Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station in the American South, and we hope to have some new affiliates of that type in the future, both for Mark Dankoff's America specifically as well as for the Republic Broadcasting Network generally. Our guest in the last hour and for the next 30 minutes is Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon. This is an organization in the greater Los Angeles, California area that is dedicated to preserving the memory of the unsung heroes. I emphasize the unsung heroes of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces, and Ms. Nashat is the president of that organization, and General Ali Nashat, the last commander of the Shah's Imperial Guard, who was executed in April of 1979, his memory remains the foundation for the creation of Sarbazon and for the outreach that Sarbazon hopes to have in the future in regard to not only spreading the word about the truth of Iran, past, present, and future as it sees it, but also helping the untold numbers of people in the Persian military at that time, Army, Navy, and Air Force, who were not among those who have been pilloried by Dilip Hero and Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller and others as crooked. Shireen's been, of course, emphasizing that the vast numbers of these people were not crooked and have had totally tragic and totally difficult lives in the 28 years since this tragedy took place in 1978 and 9. Shireen, in regard to Sarbazon, what do you envision it will be doing in coming months and years? I know you've got an event coming up on February 25th and one coming up on April 15th in Los Angeles. I also know that you envision trying to do some things to help some of the individual people and their family members in this country and elsewhere that no one ever hears about who have just been trying to survive in the years since 1979.
Yes. Mark, in our event, I mean, we have a press conference on February 25th for the new uprising movement in Iran, and I want to introduce Colonel Dr. Aguilipour, which I have invited him from France to United States, and he is going to introduce himself to the media in Los Angeles. And I have invited him to Los Angeles because I really needed to work with some very, very highly potential and strong officer from Iran. Working together, we are getting a very good result, and there are lots of people calling us and being in touch, sending emails, and now there is, how can I tell you, I mean, there is something wonderful happening in near future, because a lot of people from Army, they are in touch with us, and they are happy that Colonel Aguilipour is here and we are working together for the new movement in Iran. His press conference is on 25th of February, and we have a memorial for unsung heroes, which he is going to be there on April 15th in Beverly Hills Library, which it's open for everybody, and we love to see everybody over there, and they can get a lot of information regarding to the officers after the revolution and their family, how hard we are living, and we are trying to keep their names still. Because as you know, this terrorist regime in Iran doesn't let any history stay in that country.
We'll be back.
We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have been with Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon for the last hour and 8 minutes. We will be with her until approximately 9:30 this morning, Central Standard Time. That's about 22 minutes from now. And then we'll be joined by Chalmers Johnson, who is involved in the National Intelligence Estimate Process with the Central Intelligence Agency from 1968 to 1972. He has been a tenured professor of political science and Asian studies at the University of California, both in Berkeley and in San Diego. And he has a new book out entitled Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. That'll be Chalmers Johnson at around 9:30 this morning for the last 30 minutes of the show. But back with Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon. Again, I want to point out to people who search her out on the Internet, that is Shireen Nashat, N-E-S-H-A-T, of Sarbazon, S-A-R-B-A-Z-A-N. You'll want to watch for this press conference she's talking about in Los Angeles for February 25th, introducing a Colonel Aguilapur. Is that how you pronounce his name, Shireen?
Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct.
And it's amazing that I got it right the first time. And the other article is The Overthrow of the Shah and the Bilderberg Group Conspiracy. That's something that William Bowles originally posted with Countercurrents. Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon has written commentary on that article. which, again, you can find on the World Wide Web if you search for Shereen Nashat, N-E-S-H-A-T, and Sarbazan, S-A-R-B-A-Z-A-N. It's quite a story. And I think the full story of this woman's life and what happened to her father, General Ali Nashat, the last commander of the Imperial Guard of Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's regime, and the larger implications of this, not simply for the Nashat family, but also for literally dozens, if not hundreds, of people connected with the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces who are not among the bums that we're always hearing about, but are the unsung heroes whose lives changed forever in the late 1970s and who did not sell their country down the drain at that time and who have largely been living in the most tragic and difficult of circumstances in the almost 30 years since those events took place. Shereen, as far as the extended families of Persian Americans living in this country who are a part of the good constituency that we never hear about, what kinds of things do you think Sarbazan might be doing in coming months to attempt to help these individuals who have largely been forgotten and unsung?
Mark, I came up to this, that as I have talked to you a lot about it, to make the Sarbazan as a non-profit organization, because we need desperately some help, financially help, for this kind of families and our goals, you know. And I am trying my best, and you know my life situation. I'm working full-time. I'm a single mother. I'm doing these political things, you know, lots of things to do. But I came, as we talked together before, I am going to have the Sarbazan as non-profit organization, and we are going to help these families, family members in Iran, in all over the world. But right now, as you see, I am doing this. We have to help these families, but I can do it by myself. I don't have that much money to help those people, those families, and there are some people that they are helping, and we are sending the money. We are helping these families back home or over here, or we are helping some people that inside of the country to give us some news, but that's not enough. And we want more help, more financially help, and we are doing whatever we can with help of a few friends over here.
Yes, and as I have mentioned on this show when it's been appropriate from time to time when the subject of Iran has come up, my father, who is still living, was a director of logistics for the Shah's Imperial Iranian Air Force in the 1970s, and I know at a very advanced age that my dad has continued to be personally sickened over the fact that so many of the good people that he knew at that time, speaking of the good ones, that either lost their lives or went into exile and are not in touch with my dad, that somehow these people have been forgotten and all of this tragedy has come into the lives of extended family members and so forth. And when it comes to both the American government and certainly the current regime in Iran, these folks are never talked about, and they're never on the front pages of establishment newspapers and so forth. And I think it's absolutely incredible, given your working schedule, the fact that you raised a family alone all these years and have been largely operating with Sarbazan almost as a one-person operation, who has, through sheer force of will, managed to get Sarbazan before the international media. Of course, you're on this show now with the Republic Broadcasting Network. I know that in recent years that Persian television and radio have covered you in Los Angeles. I was just going to ask you, given what you've accomplished with few resources and the number of hours that you work in the American economy just to survive, what drives you?
Well, the Iran. Freedom of Iran, freedom of our people. You know, I am doing because of my father. Whatever I do in the name of my father, because I and my family are surviving, and I know how hard is it, and I know how hard these people are living out of the country in exile, and I am trying my best, and this is the only hope that I have, that one day I see free Iran, and I see free people in Iran, you know, have democracy back to Iran, and all the best wishes for these young children instead of being executed in this regime right now after even 28 years, they get their freedom and live good and, you know, the best. I don't know. I get sometimes excited when I'm talking about these families, Mark. You know me. It is really sad. It is really sad what came to our country. And I wish the freedom, and this is my goal, and I stay by it till end of my life.
Yes.
We have these families.
Yes.
It's very hard. It's very hard life.
Well, and you might be encouraged by the fact that in yesterday's Los Angeles Times, February 8th, there is a story by Kim Murphy, a person I do not know, but she's an LA Times staff writer, talking about the fact that dissent is growing in Iran. It's a very lengthy story with the Los Angeles Times. It came out yesterday, February 8th. Kim Murphy is the writer. It has a Tehran byline, and it certainly suggests that at this particular time in history, that things are coming to a head in Iran, things that perhaps have been brewing in the last 28 or 29 years or so. And I personally am hopeful, prayerful, let's put it that way, that somehow, some way, Mr. Bush will not engage in this frightening suggestion of a preemptive war against Iran, that thousands of innocent people will not be killed, and that the Iranian people will be given an opportunity on their own, without the Russians, without the Americans, without the Israelis, without the British, without the Chinese, and all of the other people who have been trying to put their finger in the Iranian pie in the last however many decades, but that the Iranian people themselves would get the opportunity to decide once and for all what kind of a government they want, and how that relates both to the Shiite Islamic tradition, which has been a part of the state religion of Iran since the, I believe, the 15th century, and the much larger history of the 2,500-year-old Persian monarchy going back to the time of Cyrus the Great. So,
yes, I really don't want war. War is something that this terrorist regime is looking for it. And they really want to have that. But I don't think this is right. I think the most important thing is if America want to help this situation, they have to help the movement. They have to help us to stay against this regime instead of, you know, having a war, instead of killing a lot of innocent people. And I don't think that's right. I think the best is to help the movement to stay in front of this terrorist regime from inside of the country with the Persians, with the Iranians, not other governments, you know, to
yes.
put some bomb in the country and just for removing this terrorist regime.
Yes, and the other thing that I think is going to be absolutely imperative is to have a situation where the American public and the American government and the American media become aware of those individuals and groups within the Iranian expatriate community that are legitimate and that are not intelligence front organizations either for this country or Britain or Israel or Russia or whomever that happens to be.
Yeah. Yes. And by the way, we have to open our eyes and be careful with the movements also. You know, we have to choose the right Persian movement that they can stay against this regime inside of the Iran.
Shireen Neshat of Sarbazon in Los Angeles, thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'll have a few comments when we return, and then Chalmers Johnson will be on. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in the last hour and a half was Shireen Neshat of Sarbazon. If you are not familiar with her, you need to find her through your Google search engine or whatever search engine you use. You will discover that when you find out more about this organization, that there is an entire story about her father, General Ali Neshat, who was the last commander of the Shah's Imperial Guard, and a much wider story about the so-called unsung heroes of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces at that time, who were not on the take, who did not steal millions of dollars from their country, as a handful did, and who have been living very difficult lives in exile, both in this country and in Europe for 28 years. The story of the Neshats and the Neshat family, the story of the community of Iranian military people that they represent, both in this country and in Europe, and even within Iran still to this day, is a very painful and tragic story. and reminds us that once again, the real story is oftentimes what never sees the light of day in corporate establishment media, but what does emerge from alternative media, whether that's Shireen Nashat Sarbazon or it involves Mark Dankoff's America or the Republic Broadcasting Network. Quite clearly, this whole issue of Iran is not going to go away. And Shireen was talking about this press conference that Sarbazon is having on the 25th of February in Los Angeles. Keep an eye on that story. This Colonel Aguilapour that she makes reference to is someone I'm not familiar with, but quite clearly he would seem to be a very significant figure emerging in the Iranian expatriate community. That's a story that's going to bear watching. And then on April 15th, out there in Beverly Hills, there is going to be a memorial for the unsung heroes of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces that for right now is scheduled on April 15th for the Beverly Hills Public Library. Depending on who shows for that event, it may be moved to another venue in Beverly Hills if additional space is required. But as for right now, that is scheduled not only for April 15th, which is set in stone, but it is for right now scheduled for the Beverly Hills Public Library. If you can attend that event or read anything about it, I think what you will discover is that there is a whole story behind the tragic epic story of Pahlavi Iran and the American involvement with the Pahlavi regime that does not see the light of day as far as traditional media is concerned. And there is a lot of blood in the hands of a lot of people in regard to what happened over there at that time. Again, I would point you to Shireen Nashat and Sarbazon as far as doing a Google search. And a couple of the articles that I would really recommend to you are Osiris Kadavar's article entitled The Final 37 Days of the Pahlavi Regime in Iran. That was originally posted at Iranian.com. It was subsequently reposted in July of 2005 by Liberty Post. And then, of course, Shireen Nashat has a post, which you will find if you search her name, that is involved with commentary on the whole story that was originally put out by William Bowles of Countercurrents. That original post was entitled The Overthrow of the Shah of Iran and the Bilderberg Group Conspiracy. Who and what was really behind the events that in 1978 and 9 led to the Islamic Revolution? Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon's commentary on William Bowles' article in Countercurrents is very suggestive that there's a lot more to that story than we were ever told at the time, or that you're ever going to see reference made to, again, in regard to corporate news media. So keep an eye on that in the days that are ahead as it relates to present and potentially future difficulties in Iran. And again, I go back to a number of other items in today's press that are well worth your time. Ken Murphy's post yesterday at the Los Angeles Times entitled Dissent Grows in Iran is well worth reading. How much of that information is factual is not for me to determine. I really don't know, but it's an interesting post. Keeping in mind that it is in establishment media. There are several other things, of course, that are well worth your time, including Pat Buchanan's post today at antiwar.com entitled, Is Bombing Iran Bush's Call? And the thing that, again, comes to mind as we look at what Pat Buchanan has been talking about on this subject is that there is clearly a circumstance where, regardless of your position on Iran, and regardless of your position on Shiite Islam and whether or not there are versions of Shiite and Sunni Islam that are more moderate than others and so forth and so on, that this whole issue of an American preemptive military strike against Iran gets into the most serious constitutional and legal and moral and political and military issues that we could possibly confront. And I personally will go on the record, as I already have, in saying that I think this is absolutely the wrong move. It's the wrong move for the people of Iran. It's a wrong move in terms of the dangerous shift that we see again in the Bush administration away from a policy of deterrence to one of preemption. It seems to me that we are continually jettisoning any conventional forms of diplomacy by engaging in this sort of thing. There's the whole issue of the overextension of the American military force structure worldwide. We're floundering in Iraq and Afghanistan, and these guys want to expand this thing into Iran. That involves thousands of lives. It involves additional troops. It involves potentially the reinstitution of an American draft at some point. And we're talking again here about billions, not millions, but billions of dollars. Getting back to this absurd estimate by Paul Wolfowitz years ago that said that we could do this whole thing in Iraq for $50 billion. We're now at somewhere between 400 and 500 billion. Mr. Bush wants another 100 billion this year and another 145 billion for all of this next year in Iraq alone, according to the Wall Street Journal. Be careful, folks. We'll be back with Chalmers Johnson when Mark Dankoff's America returns. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in the last 20 to 25 minutes of today's show by Chalmers Johnson. If you're not familiar with him, you need to be. From 1968 to 1972, he was involved at the highest levels of the Central Intelligence Agency in regard to the processes that lead to the production of the so-called National Intelligence Estimates. He has, for the last 30 years or so, been an East Asian scholar and a political science professor at the University of California, both in Berkeley and in San Diego. And he has a new book out that I fully intend on reading in its entirety. It's entitled Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. That's by Chalmers Johnson. It's available through Metropolitan Books. It's 356 pages long. You can have it for $26 through your local book outlets. And I'm looking at a review of Tim Rutten of the Los Angeles Times in regard to this story. He goes on to tell us a little bit about Chalmers Johnson and mentioning that specifically in the last 5 or 6 years, that between his 2000 book Blowback, which essentially predicted that U.S. covert intelligence activities abroad had unwittingly unleashed consequences that would threaten America's physical security. He then went on to a subsequent volume entitled The Sorrows of Empire. Now he completes this so-called trilogy with Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. And again, referring to Tim Rutten of the Los Angeles Times, he says that Dr. Johnson has assumed something close to the mantle of a contemporary Jeremiah. I affirm that judgment. Dr. Johnson, how are you, sir?
It's a pleasure to talk.
Yes, this whole business of the Bush administration and the role of the neoconservative element in American foreign policy, this intervention in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now all of this talk today, as Pat Buchanan has chronicled the whole thing at antiwar.com,
in regard
to Bush potentially striking Iran preemptively and maybe even with tactical nuclear weapons, as an acknowledged expert in all of this, where do you think this is headed?
Well, the problem here, I think it's not just Bush, Cheney, the neocons. Certainly they've been a severe problem, and it's a trap we've been walking into. But it's been maturing for a long time. The essential problem, as I see it, is that history tells us there's no more unstable combination than that of a domestic democracy and a foreign empire. You can't have both. The famous alternatives are the Roman Republic, on which our country was in many respects modeled, as Madison tells us, the Roman Republic that kept its empire and lost its democracy, or to take another alternative that I try and discuss in Nemesis, the British Empire after World War II, which chose to give up India and much of the rest of its empire in order to preserve its domestic democracy. It's an idea that I think we in America ought to consider. But what I'm basically getting at here is, yes, we have too many wars, too large a military, too aggressive attempts to interfere militarily with other nations, and that we're approaching the point where something's likely to crack, and I'm trying to warn against it.
Well, you know, I'm struck by the fact that in recent days, in addition to the fact that I'm a member of what is called alternative media, I do look at the conventional press and read the Wall Street Journal and the London Financial Times and the LA Times and the Washington Post and all those things. And I was struck by a story in the Wall Street Journal just a few days ago that said basically that with all, you know, Wolfowitz had said we could do this whole thing in Iraq for $50
billion. Right.
Depending on whose figures you look at now, we're somewhere between $350 billion and $500 billion.
Yes.
And then the Wall Street Journal reports, as of a few days ago, that just financially alone, Bush wants another $100 billion for Iraq this year. He wants $145 billion for it next year.
Right.
That's apparently even aside from Afghanistan. And this is before this potential entry into this brave new world of a preemptive attack on Iran. I mean, to me, as one who is a non-specialist and a non-expert in all of this, it seems to me that the that we're bordering on insanity in this whole thing.
Well, we're certainly bordering on bankruptcy.
Yes.
One of the things I try and talk about, that is to say, right now the United States has the largest trade deficits of any nation on earth. We're the world's largest net debtor nation. We have a trade deficit with China that is the largest ever recorded with any country, and it goes on and on and on. A week ago, that is last Monday, Bush submitted a so-called defense budget to Congress that's three-quarters of $1 trillion. A trillion, remember, is a $1,000 billion.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that we throw these terms around as if people understood what they mean. It's absurd. Bankruptcy would not mean the literal end of the United States, but it would radically alter our way of life. I mean, that is to say, Germany went bankrupt in 1923, China in 1948, Argentina just a few years ago in 2001 and 2. But we are running up bills today and putting them on the tab that are simply astronomical. It's as if we don't care any longer. That is to say, the military is out of control. Even if you wish to pursue the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which I do not, but even if you did, then you'd have to ask, and why are we then spending just billions of dollars on junk for outer space warfare that we know doesn't work, that is not a problem, that threatens us, that is warfare in outer space would threaten us more than any other nation because we use so many satellites and things of this sort. I have a chapter in Nemesis called Space, the Ultimate Imperialist Project, in which the main point about it is not whether this stuff works, but that it's expensive. One of the things that is going on today that is, I think, extremely worrisome for our democracy is the degree to which we're becoming dependent on the military-industrial complex, that the way we're spending this money is a way of driving our economy forward rather than having anything to do. I mean, calling it defense expenditures is just a euphemism.
Yes, and some days on this show I had my friend Dr. Richard Cummings on here.
Yes.
I hesitate to mention that his article appeared in Playboy magazine.
But it's a very important piece, yes.
And it's a very important piece entitled Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, and it basically underscores the point that you've just made, and that is that for the average American, if we had any conception of the way in which these military-industrial complex expenditures drive the American economy,
yes,
and the way in which those decisions are made largely, in according to Dr. Cummings' article, you could draw the conclusion that this is really outside the legitimate scope of what any reasonable person would see,
yes,
as a national security interest.
Absolutely. That it's become a way of life. It's gone back for years now. It's not just the Bush administration. They're among the worst violators of it. But it reminds us of the warning that Eisenhower made in his farewell address in 1961, in which he spoke in extremely strident and undiplomatic terms about how we had now created a permanent arms industry, that it had enormous political influence, that it was close to being out of control. He listed the millions of people who work in it, and as it turns out, we now know we didn't pay any attention to that warning, and we're now paying the consequences very, very severely.
What do you make of the fact, now, of course, there are people on the American left who have differences of opinion over this whole situation,
yes,
with the Iraq War, but, you know, on the American right, it seems to me that there is a developing division on this as well between the people who continue to support the basic Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz line on all of this, and the kinds of people on the American right embodied by people like Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts,
yes,
who are beginning to say, hey, wait a minute, there's no way that this is economically or politically or militarily or morally sustainable. What do you make of that kind of a division on the American right? Do you think that that's going to be significant in terms of ultimately a lack of American domestic political support for what Bush is trying to do?
Well, certainly that support is drying up, but the problem, I believe, is that we're too far gone, we're too far dependent on the military-industrial complex. Empire is out of control. We have 737 U.S. military bases in other people's countries, in some 130 countries around the world. That number comes from the base structure report, the annual inventory that the Pentagon does of properties they own. Our debts are becoming simply astronomical, and we are dependent upon China and Japan to continue to finance us to the tune of imports of money that were around $6 billion a day that we borrow from them. The Iraq War, it seems to me, the fundamental problem, looked at it from the point of view of constitutional government in America, the Constitution offers us, if it were still viable, offers us ways to get rid of an unsatisfactory political leader, namely impeachment, or for that matter, periodic elections. We haven't taken advantage of that, but I can't think of a more impeachable offense than to have concocted a fake national intelligence estimate that warns of nuclear weapons in Iraq when it turns out not a word in it was true, that it was concocted. The public has difficulty understanding it because the investigations of the origins of the invasion of Iraq have all worked on the premise that you dare not talk about Bush or Cheney, that you have to talk about allegedly intelligence failures. They weren't intelligence failures. The intelligence community was ordered to produce these things. So that it's every time we turn around, we read something new from Iraq about corruption in our implementation of our plans and things of this sort. But I think the fundamental problem, again, and Iraq illustrates it, is imperialism. There's something lunatically out of joint to think that you're going to take a failed state and reform it at the point of a gun. Imperialism is a form of tyranny. It does not seek the consent of the governed. It does not offer the consent of the governed that our troops in Iraq, in the eyes of Iraqis, are easily identifiable foreign invaders, that maybe they did get rid of Saddam Hussein, and maybe many people in Iraq find that attractive. But they certainly don't find it attractive to have these foreigners here bringing on the death and destruction that has overwhelmed this country. And it's but we've been very, very slow to react to it, or even to make a pretense of understanding what it is that we've unleashed.
What do you make of this report in the British medical journal Lancet,
yes,
which indicates that there have been something like 655,000 deaths in Iraq as a result of these American military actions?
Well, I've actually looked at those at the report and the way this has been put together. There's ample reason to believe that it is a number somewhere in that proportion. It is, again, it's a remarkable example of American contempt that we say we make no attempt to count so-called civilian casualties, and that we have made such an attempt. It's just we keep it secret. It is it adds up to the accusations against us of virtually Mongol barbarism. We know full well that we killed close to 500,000 children in the sanctions against Iraq during the 1990s. It always seemed to be important that the Americans forget it, that within 2 weeks after 9/11, Osama bin Laden told us in so many words why he carried out these attacks. One was that terrible error of ours of putting troops in Saudi Arabia after 1991, that these were resented as infidel troops being used to defend the country that has the most sacred sites of Islam in it, our support for Israel in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and then 30 mentioned the casualties in Iraq as a result of our, which we've always said were the most severe sanctions ever imposed in modern history. I mentioned this simply again to say that we interpreted all this as a religious war in which Osama bin Laden in some way rejected our way of life, our freedoms and things of this sort. I think this is nonsense. He tells us in so many words why he did it, and it's a casus belli. It's a reason to go to war. It's resentment against our throwing our weight around.
Yes, and with all of the excellent points that you're making on this, I was talking in the first couple of hours on this show with Shireen Nashat of Sarbazan, which is a Persian human rights group,
yes,
out in the Los Angeles area. And I made reference to a report in today's Washington Post on page one. It's by Walter Pincus and R. Jeffrey Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And it's entitled "Officials' Key Report on Iraq is Faulted." And it cites the very thing that you've just mentioned for the listeners. I'm quoting from the Washington Post this morning. It says, intelligence provided by former Undersecretary of Defense Douglas J. Feith,
yes,
to buttress the White House case for invading Iraq included, quote, reporting of dubious quality or reliability, unquote, that supported the political views of senior administration officials rather than the conclusions of the intelligence community, according to a report by the Pentagon's Inspector General. Now, of course, the article goes on with a lot more detail, but it seems to me as kind of an average guy in this country that I read stuff like this, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, when you look at the national security establishment of the United States, these are, it seems to me, absolutely damning indictments.
Oh, these are devastating. I mean, that is, if there ever were grounds for impeachment, for an impeachment trial in which they were thoroughly investigated and brought out in the open, this is it. But that's the reason why I mean my subtitle. the last days of the American Republic, the public is more or less quiescent in the face of these revelations. They continue almost daily with evidence of the president violating things that are that constitutionally prohibited, that he is pretending to us and to the world that because he is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, that he believes that he is, as he likes to put it, the decider. You could hear a whole raft of founders of the American Republic rolling over in their graves over the thought that a single man was the decider, the very purpose of our Constitution, of the separation of powers and things of this sort, was to prevent the rise of a dictator, of tyranny, of a single-person rule. And it is to say how far gone we really are. If you really do believe that the Constitution bears any resemblance to the government in Washington, D.C. today, well, the burden of proof is on you.
Well, yes, and I go back to Mr. Bush's public comments of some years gone by that he hadn't read a book since he graduated from college. Apparently, he's not read Article 1, Section 8 of the American Constitution, right, which places all of this in the court of Congress.
Yes.
And this gets into something that Pat Buchanan was talking about today at antiwar.com,
mm-hmm,
and whether or not this whole issue is Bush's call constitutionally or the Congress, and I think you've already answered the question for us. We will be back with Chalmers Johnson, the author of the new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic, in the final minutes of Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were joined in the first hour and a half or 2 hours of this show today by Shireen Nashat, the Persian human rights activist from Los Angeles, California. Her organization is called Sarbazan. We've been talking in the last 20 minutes or so with Dr. Chalmers Johnson, the author of the new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Dr. Johnson, of course, is an emeritus professor at UC San Diego in California, and between 1968 and 1972 was a consultant to the Central Intelligence Agency's Office of National Estimates. He is also a uniquely qualified scholar in the area of East Asian affairs. And Dr. Johnson, in our final minutes of this show, do you think that the only option left for Congress in dealing with Bush is, number one, the option of defunding this stuff, and number two, impeachment? Is that where we are?
Yes, there's just no doubt about that. That is, the Congress has failed us so badly over the last 5 years, in the sense that its function, clearly written into the Constitution, is the balance of power, to maintain the separation of powers between the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of our government, to prevent the development of what now clearly we have, an imperial presidency bolstered by secrecy in the intelligence agencies. I have a chapter in my new book called Central Intelligence Agency, The President's Private Army. It essentially is what it is. There is no possible way that Congress, much less a citizen, can do oversight on what it does, since everything it does is secret. The 40% of the defense budget is black, despite Article 1 of the Constitution that says we will ultimately know how our tax dollars are spent. That has not been true in the United States since the Manhattan Project of World War II to develop atomic weapons. We've got, that is to say, we're in very serious trouble. It's not at all clear to me that the political system can recover from the deformations that have occurred in recent times. The judiciary regularly caves in the face of presidential assertions that because of the Commander-in-Chief clause, the president is essentially beyond international or constitutional law to do anything he wants to, which is as contrary to the spirit of our Constitution as anything I can think of. So that, yes, the Congress still does have the power to cut off funds. Will it use it? If it doesn't use it, then the only appropriate attitude is contempt. That's what it's there for. The money is being wasted. We're heading toward bankruptcy because of the way they do this. The economy is rigged and distorted, in which we believe we can go on forever borrowing money from foreigners in order to maintain our lifestyle. As Herb Stein, when he was chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, once put it, things that can't go on forever don't. And that's the situation that we're in right now.
Yes, and clearly it seems to me to be absolutely apocalyptic in terms of its implications.
Yes.
Dr. Johnson, I would like to thank you for being on Mark Dankos America, coming to us live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I would urge every listener of this program to get a copy of Chalmers Johnson's book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. That's a Metropolitan Books publishing effort. 356 pages, $26. And take a look at Tim Rutten's review of this book for the Los Angeles Times. God bless you. See you on Monday morning. Take care.